Welcome to the BWFA Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast series brought to you by Baltimore, Washington Financial Advisors. This podcast is informational and not a specific recommendation. Please consult with your financial advisor.
Thank you for listening. This is Sandy Horner, Managing Director, Wealth Management at Baltimore, Washington Financial Advisors, podcasting with two of my financial planning colleagues, Tyler Klug and Joe DePatty. We're continuing our discussion of college planning, and specifically, this episode is about investing for college. Why is that something that you ought to be thinking about? Well, let me share a few facts with you. Currently, 85% of college borrowers expect to experience a financial hardship due to those loan payments. If you look at credit card debt over the last roughly 20 years, it's up about 43%. If you look at auto loan debt, it's up over 100%. If you look at student loan debt, it's up over 320%. This is a big deal, and it needs to be taken seriously. As we discussed on previous podcasts in this series, why you would want to invest in an education, and then secondly, what the cost of that education is going to be. Today, we're going to talk to you about how to invest for it. Joe, why don't you get us kicked off? Talk to us a little bit about what are families doing today?
Well, most families, well, I wouldn't say most, but about a third of all families out there aren't doing anything to save for college.
Yikes.
That means that they're relying on future student loans or academic scholarships or financial aid to really pay for those big tuition bills in the future. Those families that are being a little bit more thoughtful and prepared
proactive.
For those. Yeah, proactive is a good word. About 52% are savings in cash, but surprisingly, about 34% are relying on their retirement accounts, those 401k accounts, to fund a portion of those educational expenses. So that means that they're really sacrificing their own retirements to pay for school. In addition to those 401ks, families are also leaning on IRA accounts or Roth IRA accounts. Only about 33% are going to use those educational 529 plans that have some tax advantages to them.
Yeah, which for most folks, sorry to jump in, but like just to be clear, in case you're new to college investing folks, that 529 plan for most people is going to be the best option.
Exactly. And that's right what I was going to say, Sandy. It's surprising to see those statistics where only a third of people are funding college with the 529s, because, you know, again, those are great accounts to save in. It's growing tax deferred and tax free for school. So if you can be saving appropriately, ideally, I would think and would like to see that number much higher, rather than people having to tap into their own retirement plans to fund their kids'
college. I must say, when the two of you brought this data to me, I was really shocked. I mean, I'm not completely shocked at some of this, but the fact that only one out of three people are, you know, properly using the 529, that more than half the people are just paying for it out of cash, and that almost, you know, more than one out of three are actually spending out of their own retirement dollars for their kids' college education is scary for the future.
It is. So hopefully, you know, with education, there can be much more, you know, much better savings. And if people are being proactive and diligent with their savings, they can be maximizing, you know, the tax benefits of that 529 account and making sure they're properly funded.
The numbers that we talked about in terms of cost are staggering. So if I'm under this concept that, like, I have to have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 even just to get started, I may feel paralyzed. Do I need that much to get started?
You certainly don't need that much, and the earlier you can become a proactive saver, I think the better. We have a couple of examples of the impact of savings over time, particularly from birth, and if maybe you weren't quite as proactive for the first couple of years of life and you wanted to jump in, it does make a difference when you start saving. If we talk about saving $100 per month starting at birth, getting a 6% rate of return over that time period, you're going to have about $38,000, you know, when that first tuition bill hits. If you were to delay that, though, starting at age six, that nest egg of $38,000 drops to about $21,000. So that's a pretty meaningful, you know, loss of potential compound growth over that time period. And if you delay till age 12, you're only getting about $8,600. So it certainly is very important to start early so you can really accumulate the benefits of long-term compound interest there.
I do like the fact that you're highlighting you don't have to put $5,000 a month away. I mean, here's $100 a month, you know, which is adding substantially to almost $40,000 when your kid is ready to go to college. That's a big chunk of change. As we discussed, if you were doing a, you know, combo community college, in-state college, that's, you know, almost half, at least a third of your tuition right there, just by saving $100 a month. What happens if you're able, Joe, to bounce that up and save a little bit more?
If you bumped up to $250 a month, the numbers changed to about $96,000 starting at birth, so over 18 years worth of saving $250 per month, getting 6% rate of return. If you start at age six, you're getting about $52,000, so a pretty meaningful reduction with that same 6% rate of return.
Wow, so almost half.
Yeah.
It's almost a 50% difference in value just from 6 years, yeah, which is significant.
But again, I look at those numbers as a parent who is currently paying two college tuitions, and I see that $250 a month starting at birth almost pays for an in-state college education, at least in today's numbers, looking at this data.
Absolutely. And if you can save even more, again, there's the last example was saving $500 a month. So if you, you know, have the earnings power and have the savings capability, obviously more money in the longer time you can compound it, it's going to grow even greater than the other two examples. But at $500 a month starting at birth, that would grow to about $191,000 versus, you know, the extreme example where if you waited until age 12, that would only grow starting with $500 a month to $43,000. So over $150,000 difference. So again, the power of compounding really means, you know, you need to take the time and give it time to grow, and as well as, of course, the principal. But having those additional years is really going to make a sizable difference in your nest egg.
I think also, if I'm not mistaken, Joe, as we talked about earlier, unfortunately, only one out of three people are using those 529s. That after-tax return on a tax-deferred account, that'll help as well.
Oh, absolutely. Uncle Sam typically wants his money when you accumulate interest outside of tax preferential accounts. So, you know, if you saved $100,000 in an investment account and all of it was gains and 15% of that's going to Uncle Sam, well, you wouldn't have $100,000 for college. You'd only have $85,000 going to college. So there are some other things to consider when we think about what vehicles we want to use for college. But the main thing is at least you're doing something. You become proactive. You save, you know, as much as you can now. Maybe you start off with a couple, maybe $100 a month, $50 a month, but over time we try to bump that up, do some automated savings there. So start now if you haven't started yet, and you know, certainly we're going to explore some more tax beneficial accounts in the future to in what vehicles you want to choose to save.
Excellent. Gentlemen, appreciate your time today. Audience, thank you for listening. Please remember, as we always advise, check with your financial advisor before making any decisions. If you need a second opinion or you're not currently working with an advisor, you'd like to learn a little bit more about how we can help here at Baltimore Washington Financial Advisors, we invite you to have a conversation with us, for which there's never a charge or any obligation. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. For questions, more information, or to schedule a conversation, please contact Baltimore Washington Financial Advisors. Past performance is no measure or guarantee of future returns. Investing in securities involves risk, including the risk of principal. The securities and services mentioned here may not be suitable for every investor. You should discuss these with your advisor prior to making a final determination based on your risk tolerance, your investment objectives, and your financial situation. Baltimore Washington Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor.